Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to
Babbittville
Radio.
You better
get by everysite.com, runcatalina.com, by our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on babbittville.com or on iTunes. We've had over 700,000 downloads of our show so far. Our next guest has won the New York City Marathon, the Boston Marathon, Olympic silver medalist. He is simply America's greatest runner. He just finished seventh at New York City. Mr. Meb Keflezighi. Meb, how the heck are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So, Meb, let's talk a little bit about New York City. 10th time run New York City Marathon. Take me through some of your favorite memories of that race.
Favorite or not, you know, not always been great ones. In fact, my first in 2002, I did my first debut marathon in New York City Marathon, where I said my first and last, I never want to do this ever again.
So you were, at that point, you were like, this marathon thing's way too far.
Yeah, I said this marathon was just sucks.
It's just too far.
It's too far, it's too painful, I don't want to do it again. But we do have a short memory, and we do forget some things. So I went back to my childhood birthplace, Eritrea, where I saw people struggling just to get food on the table, and they have to go to the well to get water, and they have to go collect woods and bark of trees to have a fire for your food to cook and for your water to boil. So I guess I never have room to complain in the marathon, and I came back and I talked to Coach Larson. I wanted to do the Boston in 2003, but because of the challenger course and it was, I decided to wait until the fall to do Chicago, and then I did Chicago, and then obviously went to the Olympics in 2004, where I won silver medal, was my fourth one, and then went back to New York for the second time, where I ran a personal best and finished second. And 2005 was one of the most memorable, because I know I always believed that I think I could pull it off, win in New York, but I think that reality became more true when I finished third under only 8 weeks of training behind Hendrik Ramala and the eventually winner Paul Turgot, who was a world record holder in the marathon. But that gave me hope that we can get this thing done if we can train and stay healthy. And 2006, another bad day. I had the food poisoning, and I finished 24th, I believe. And then 07, obviously, was the trials. I didn't do it. And then 08, I decided to skip it because even though there were New York runners invited me to come, I didn't think I was in shape to win or be a contender. I think I could have run 2:11 or so, but that's not going to, you know, be top four.
Right.
And I will have some contractual obligation problem with my sponsor at the time, Nike. So basically, came back 2009, I won, and 2010, I finished sixth, and then 2011, I mishaps. Even elite athletes do make mistakes. I accidentally left my breathe right on my shoes. I had an issue, but I still ran a personal best, and then get ready for the trials in 2012, which got canceled. In 2013, finished hand-in-hand with Matt Cassidy. I was, after struggling at 19.2 miles, where my body says shut down, can't go. My mind says go, but I couldn't do it. And then, obviously, 2014, I finished fourth behind in front of the Olympic champion and world champion.
Yep.
And also Geoffrey Mutai, who was the defending champion. And then, obviously, this one, 2015, I did my 10th time, which is became the only male to finish the New York 10th time been the only male to be able to finish and as a lead, that is. So,
right.
With Greta Watts, who was on the female, and that was another record itself, but also got the Jeff Campbell record, course record, and I also got the Masters American record. So all in all, with the quiet journey in New York, and I would haven't done it without the support of New York Road Runners and the TCS New York City Marathon. So I started there, and I have done many great things. So I finished first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and this year I was seventh. and the first time I ever did, I was in ninth place. So number eight and number 10 is the only thing that is missing there. Otherwise, I got 1 through 10.
I love that. That is awesome. And 2:13:32. And yeah. I mean, for a master, for being 40 years old, going 2:13, did you surprise yourself or did you feel you were in that type of shape?
What are you saying, Bob? Is that all or something?
No, no. It's beginning of the conversation. That's a young guy. You're a teenager.
You know, it was great. I mean, I know I was capable of running faster, but the pace was pretty slow just because of the little wind and also the temperature was, I thought it was ideal personally, but yeah. For some people it was a little bit too warm. So we played very conservative and people don't want to take the lead. And so nobody was really was commanding. So we were watching each other and obviously, you know, to run. And when they made a big move, mile 21, that's kind of where kind of lost the gap. And I just then my focus was to finish as high as possible and get that master's record. Which was 2:13:52, I believe. So I got about 20 seconds.
Oh, you dominated. So when you look at as you've aged, how have you had to change the way you train and mainly recover and prepare? Because obviously I've interviewed a lot of athletes over the years. And it's like, hey, I can do the same workouts I did 20 years ago, but I need to do more preparation for them. I need to eat differently. I need to recover. How have you had to change as an athlete?
Well, Bob, you've seen me. You've been in San Diego. You see how I train.
Yeah.
How I have trained in the past. You know, I try to protect my body as much as I can, whether it's running Pena's Kids Canyon or Mission Bay Park or two loops of Balboa Park. You know, it might be boring for some people, but I'm thinking not scenic. I'm then thinking protecting my body on soft surface. And then when you see me Festa Island trying or Miramar Lake, I'm trying to crank good times.
Right.
But I have to change my, as I age, I have to change my training to make a 9-day cycle instead of every Sunday was a long run. Every Sunday was day in, day, week in, week out was long run. But I have to modify my training to be able to give a more recovery in between days instead of like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday come back. I have to do, you know, whatever my body needs to. Sometimes I feel doing tempos, I'll do tempos. I feel like I need the intervals, I'll do intervals, but in between I'll give 2 days. But also I've been using not a, you know, substituting, but supplementing cross training with my elliptical.
Yes.
That I do 4 or 5 times a week. You know, I ride it for an hour and a half with my buddy Rich Libby for maybe sometimes 2 hours instead of doing the evening run, like whether it's 4 or 5 miles. I'll do that in my cool down in the morning after my intervals or tempos, and then that gives me a free in the afternoon, but I don't take the afternoon off, but I will jump on my elliptical for 18-mile run or 26-mile ride, that is.
Yes.
And then also nutritionally is important because as you get older, you have to modify your nutrition. For me, I eat all whole wheat or brown rice or, you know, great throughout the day, have more snacks versus back in the days I used to just consume as much as I can, maybe like 5,000 or over 1,000 calories a day. And now I have to probably half of that or maybe 3,000 is what the most I consume. But I have to do more 5 fruits a day versus and 2 meals a day versus 3 meals a day.
Gotcha.
So, and I also regeneration you can. I mean, for those of you that train hard or long, that's the first thing went through my system, and you know, and then use you know, snacks like power bar or
right.
Crave and things like that, have in your bag, so you're not famished. Whether I go to therapy, which I do 2-3 times a week, you know, that gives you lean away versus oh, I'm hungry, I can't go to my therapy, I have it in my bag, so I snack on that before I go.
So the other day we went over Revolution Bike Shop and got Meb Keflezighi, three-time Olympian, set up on a bicycle, on a cool road bike. Do you think you'll incorporate that moving forward?
I think it'll be fun. I mean, still, like I said, my main goal is with the elliptical, I still think. But I think to do on a road bike, which I've been shopping around for a while. Friend of mine that came and gave me in Florida, I said, hey, we're the same size. So Revolution was nice enough to be able to just fit me in, make sure I was ready to go with your help, Bob. And, yeah, I think it'll be fun. I mean, I ran Mount Soledad, but I think it'd be fun to climb Mount Soledad. And, you know, I don't know if I could do that on my elliptical, but sometimes it's good to change it up. And, you know, I would love to do that maybe for intensity and things like that, I think. But I think it's more, my road bike is more of a social thing. So people want to have, you know, go out and have a wine in their hand. I think I have the bike handy if I want to go with some other friends for a longer bike ride. But in terms of cross training, the closest you can get is right now is the elliptical.
So the Olympic trials are coming up on February 13th in L.A., and you have an opportunity to make your fourth Olympic team, which would be awesome. Normally, you go up to Mammoth and train before big events. It's cold up there, and you're basically 90 days away. Will you be going to Mammoth, or you'll be training somewhere else this year?
Most likely, I'm going to go to Mammoth. It depends on the end, you know. Now, the cold is not so bad, you know. I mean, even though I hate it, I'm not a cold person, but then I'm not there. You know, you have to give the good and the bad. But I've been so cold that I can't untie my shoes. I cannot unzip my jacket in Mammoth Lake. So I've been through that. But, you know, if it's snow, it's too much, I'm going to have to think of other alternative or delay it as much as I can. But I know Mammoth Lakes has been part of my success since 2001 when I broke the American record in the 10K, and I still have a good connection of people there, and you know, a lot of pacers like Sarah Chavez and Suresh and Gary Ackman who host me there. So I don't want to reinvent the wheels going somewhere else, even though I can, and people should think I should consider it. But I'm excited for the trials, but I want to be healthy and strong, and I hope to do most of my training in San Diego. And then go for the last, I'd ideally like to be 4 or 5 weeks, but if I have to do 3 weeks, I know it works for me. I just have to bite the bullet and go there and deal with whatever situation comes.
So you had an opportunity last week, I think, to check out the course. That's going to be a 2.5 mile loop for the trials and then 4 6-mile loops. What did you think of the course?
You know, I like the course for the Olympic trials in downtown L.A. I anticipate being downtown where I used to do kind of like almost an internship at the L.A. County office when I was at UCLA days. And it's going to be hillier course, but I think it's a nice course. It's going to be fast. And, you know, the main goal is to get top three, and hopefully I could secure to go to Rio for my fourth Olympic team. Any time you get an opportunity to represent your country, a huge honor. And also my internal motivation is my youngest daughter having a member of London Olympics. So trying to give a little shot for that so she can remember what daddy did. But Fiore and Sara, the oldest two, knows what Rio was like. I mean, what London was like. So hopefully Rio is in the plan. But I think the course is good. I think it's great, spectators friendly. A lot of turns, and, you know, I tell people, I went to UCLA, so I have to go through the campus of SC, and if that's the only way to go to Rio, then I guess I have to bite the bullet on that one, too.
When I look back at your career, obviously the Olympic silver medal was huge, but there was a period there when you're dealing with injuries after, you know, the Olympic trials in 08, and you've got the hip injury, and you weren't quite sure if you'd be able to come back from this thing. And when you look at New York and that win in 2009 at New York City Marathon, that to me was such a pivotal moment in your career. So I think a lot of people felt that, you know, you might be done.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's been a tough ride, even though I talked to you earlier about my New York experiences. It was wonderful, but ups and downs. And that's why my life has been ups and downs and my career in the marathons, you know. But you know, the peak of my career should have been 2008, 2007, 2009, ideally, you know.
Right.
Making the Olympic team in 2008, and then hopefully another medal, because 4 years earlier, 2004, that was only my fourth marathon ever, and I got a silver medal. So with experience, which paid the big dividends for me in New York and also in Boston, you would think, I think, got second in New York, third in New York, third in Boston, you think, okay, I'm setting up really well for myself for Beijing, but we got to make it to the we got to make the team. And unfortunately, I didn't make the team, and it was the fittest that I ever been, probably, but also so hungry that I wanted to win my first marathon, and I think the trial was a perfect opportunity, but maybe I just overworked too much and, you know, didn't leave enough to be able to save some for the trials and went overboard, and I learned a lot from it. So yeah, I mean, I thought my career was over at that time, and that turned the T from UCLA. I remember asking her that, hey, can I run again? And then obviously Luis Meharam was from New York, is when he discovered that had the pelvic stress fracture. But once we know the problem, I tried to make a comeback too fast, tried to make the 10K team, but that was a mistake, obviously. But then it was one thing after another, and then eventually I just went to Colorado Springs. Dr. Christofferson, who used to be my nutritionist, took me there to kind of do more exams, and we kind of rebuild my body and rejuvenated, and ever since we've been stronger than ever.
The other thing that I always think is fascinating is the whole sponsorship game, because a lot of times, you know, you're with, like, you were with a brand for a long, you're with Nike for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're not with them. And you have to question yourself and go, gosh, who am I going to go with? And then here's this young brand that really had done nothing in running, Skechers. And when they approached you, was there some trepidation about, wow, can they make running shoes? Will they really invest in me like they say they're going to invest in me? Because the partnership that you've created with Skechers has been a great one. You've really helped that brand. I think it's been something that's worked for both of you. But were there questions at first in your mind that, you know, there's Brooks, there's Adidas, there's all these brands that are known for running. Skechers isn't.
You know, Bob, everybody had an opportunity to get me.
Right. Oh, I know.
Including Nike, including Adidas or ASICS, K-Swiss, Under Armour,
yep.
Saucony, whoever. But at that time, people thought I was over the hill.
Right. I know.
And Skechers took a risk on me, but also take a risk on them. But I know I promised them I would run a personal best in the marathon and half marathon. If you ask me to do that in the 10K and 5K, I tell them I'm a realistic guy. I don't think those legs are there, the fresh. But for a half marathon and marathon, I'll do that. But they already made it comfortable, casual shoes. So it's not starting from scratch, but with the Stock Bridge and David Reese from them, which were ex-other employees. And we just sat down and talked about what the shoes should be looking like for me. But I tried the shoes that had kind of for casual running there, and it wasn't the best, but I told them I did 10-mile run, 50-mile run. I tried their shoes, and
right.
I said, but we have to improve it. And now there was only one shoe, the Pro Speed, which you look at it now compared to what shoes we have created together is, you know, night and day. But I just feel proud to be able to get them on the map, but also that for them to give me took a risk in me. But we finished fourth at the Olympic Games. We finished two personal bests in the marathon, including the trial, which I never did. Went in Boston and we finished in fourth at the Olympic Games, and still improving is a huge deal. And, you know, it's a partnership more than a sponsorship, but so is Crave or Epson Watch, CEP, Generation You Can, Elliptigo, and Power Bar. You name it. One thing I have in common with the triathlete and NASCAR is I have a lot of sponsors.
You do have a lot of sponsors because because you're a great person to invest in. And what I love is when something looks like a negative, you lose your sponsorship with Nike. But at the end of the day, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to you, because you would have always just been an athlete with some of the other brands. With Skechers, you weren't just an athlete; you were a partner.
You know, Bob, I talked to Nike post, you know, what I want to do post run. You know, I know as an athlete, my athlete life is limited, but I hope to be a better human being and a contributor to the sport. And I talked a long, long time with them about that, but I guess they did not took me seriously, or they didn't think I was credible enough or whatnot. But I know it is what it is. It is the best thing that ever happened to me. I would be lying if I told you that was what I was thinking when we went sure. our different ways. But at one point, I went 8 months without a shoe sponsor. So
right.
everybody, anybody had an opportunity to grab me. And we tried some of them, and but they just could not pull the trigger. And August 1st, 2011, I signed the Skechers, and I haven't... since then, we've been the partners and support each other. And my performance, they take pride in, and I also take pride in the product they make. And it's been a win-win situation. And plus, it allowed to free us with the Maui gym, be able
right.
to have sunglasses or Essen watch or, CP compression socks, you name it. New York Athletic Club and, Crave Power Bar and Energy Can is... It's been wonderful, but people want to invest in me as a human being, as an ambassador, versus when I was with Nike, it was all about performance. And you know what? That's going to run out. We are humans. We're not machines,
Exactly.
We're going to run out of that eventually. But I had a vision personally when I was getting out of college to have sponsors similar to what I have now. Eyewear, watch, shoes, and fluid or nutrition stuff. And then that vision has come true. And, we just got, Howie, my brother Howie has done an amazing job to make sure the brand is strong. And I do my part what I can under promise, but over deliver on those things. And I try out the product and see if it works. And then let's talk. And because I try to be as authentic as I can to give the product a real feeling to it versus, I'll just wear it, or it's not that. I just, when I do endorse something, it's to my core, and I believe by it, and I support 110%.
So you were also really one of the first guys to, one of the elite, first elite guys, not in the sport of triathlon, to use compression. Triathletes are always the first to jump in on anything. But, right? But you were really one of the first guys. Were you skeptical when someone said, hey, I want you to wear these socks that come up to your, basically cover your whole lower leg here, and they're actually going to be helpful?
No, I was never skeptical. I mean, I wore them in 2003.
Really? That far back?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, the guy, Oxy Sox, who was the company,
yeah.
he wanted to give me... good money, but because Nike owned my shoes and socks, they would not allow me to do that,
right.
which hindered me personally. But I wore them in I believe 2004 New York City Marathon, and I knew it worked on me then. And as long as it's not 90 degree and going through the water sprinkler or something, I thought they would always help me. I use them in training, I use them for my recovery, and I've been so you're talking about now 12, 13 years that I've been with the compression socks, but particularly CEP.
So you mentioned that there's only a certain lifespan you have as an athlete. When this is over, and I don't know if this is the, you think this is the last Olympics, who knows? What do you want to do? What do you want to do next? Be a running ambassador and travel to races and that type of thing?
Absolutely. I definitely want to be involved with the sport, but most importantly, I want to spend more time with my daughters and my wife.
Yes.
I mean, if you really think about my career, I really never had weekends. I mean, people come, like right now, Thanksgiving, you see me running Peñasquitos Canyon.
Yes,
back in the
I
day,
do.
But
yeah, you and I, we're the only ones out there at 7 in the morning on Thanksgiving.
Right. I got to get it in, whether it's Christmas or whatever it is before the family event starts. And now people say, hey, let's do this, let's eat this, let's eat that. They're on some vacation mode, and I'm getting ready for the trial. But, I mean, we don't have the normal family, except Sunday sometimes when I'm in town, we go to church. But other than that, it's like, I got to work.
Right.
Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, whatever you want to call it. Even though it's flexible enough to go whenever, but for me, I have to do it in the morning. If I didn't get it done in the morning, as the sun gets closer, sunset, it looks like I'm going to get it done because I'd rather do a sunset, sunrise. And it is important to, to be able to do the things that I want to do, but I want to go to motivational speaking, and I have done a lot of companies. I've done collegiate and high school graduation ceremony and commencements. Most people want to, talk about my life, which I've been fortunate enough to write around to overcome, and and also training for mortal. So I would like to do tours with that, but also I want to have fun. I want to be able to, you know, pace people, which I've lately been turning up. But also I want to go to races, whether it's Ironman or whether it's go back to the Europe and watch some track meets or soccer matches that I never got the opportunity to do because I can't be in an environment where I can get sick, or I can't be in an environment where, you know, I can't be easy accessible because I got things to do. I've never been to UCLA SC's football game. If you can believe that, I've been in UCLA since 94, but because NCAA weekend every November, and I haven't been able to make those appearances yet. But down the road, I hope to do that with my family and be able to enjoy a little bit of you know, family time and the things that I missed out. And not that I look back and say, I wish I did that. But, you know, with anything success, you got something got to give. And I've been very first successful to achieve the things that I have achieved. But hopefully down the road, I would like to, you know, kind of venture into some businesses, but also motivation speaking to colleges, businesses, and high schools. And but at the same time, give back to the sport that I have done so much for me and have fun.
So when people listen to this and they're gonna pick out the one thing, they're gonna hear the word Ironman and they're like, "Meb's doing Ironman." I'm gonna get all these texts.
No,
you
want to
go watch. You want to go watch, right? You want to come to Kona and watch Ironman.
I would love to watch it because
there you go.
Before New York City Marathon.
Yes.
So if I had the honor and privilege to say Ironman Meb, that would be a dream come true. But that's tough. You guys are really really hardcore, and I don't think I can survive that. So I want to go and watch and kind of like support you guys and be able to watch you being called Iron Man or Iron Woman. So it's a pretty cool feeling.
I think we could probably get you down on the finish line to put a lay around somebody's neck. That would be pretty cool.
That'd be me.
Yeah, but duathlon, run, bike, run. I like that.
Yeah, that would be something kind of my lingo, you know, run, bike, run, you know, that would be something cool that I would enjoy that I do almost with a lift to go.
Yeah.
What I used to do with mom biking, now that I got the road bike, I can get a little bit faster there now.
Love that. Hey, Meb, thanks as always for taking time. Really appreciate everything you do for the running community and, you know, not just the running community, all the whole world of endurance that everybody... everybody's a Meb fan because you're a class act, you're give back, you understand that there's a lot of people out there who run and they can be motivated by you and your story.
Thanks, Bob. It's always good to be with you, and thanks for the support that you have done over the years and for getting me going to that revolution for the bike fitting. And also, you know, I always say, run to win, that always means get first place. Even though it's always nice to get first place, but getting the most out of yourself is very important to whatever age that we are, whatever gender we are, whatever our body is able to do, as long as you are outside and exercising and look at the glass as half full instead of half empty, people are always happier.
Love it. Again, our guest has been Meb Keflezighi, 3-time, soon to be 4-time Olympian. We're talking Olympic silver medal. We're talking Boston Marathon champion, New York City Marathon. We are brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. iTunes, you can check out any of our interviews there, and on Babbittville.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.